It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbrand. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
So I am a citizen. I go to Arizona, and they will ask me my documents. What happened if I left at home in Virginia? And I will be in jail because I forgot my documents. Just because I look like that, like this, you know, like Edgar Aranda, the Peruvian immigrant of the United States. That's not fair. That's what I call racial profiling.
Edgar Aranda, a community educator and organizer with the Legal Aid Justice Center's Immigrant Advocacy Program, presents the many facets of immigration reform and why some plans up for discussion at next month's General Assembly may do more harm than good. And during this week's question and answer session, we talk about how child support gets set and what you need to do as soon as you know you can't pay as ordered. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 110, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. The Federal Trade Commission is seeking to revise the protocol surrounding two of life's touchiest subjects, debt and death. Debt collection has become an increasingly controversial practice as more Americans default on loan payments. Government data show the charge-off rate on consumer loans spiked to 6.7% during the second quarter, the highest level in at least 25 years. 5 years ago, the charge-off rate, loans written off by their lenders as uncollectible, was 2.4%. Meanwhile, debt collection ranked second on the FTC's list of most common consumer complaints last year after not even cracking in the top 20 2 years ago. The rise in debt collection has spawned a niche market devoted to recouping money from those who die with unpaid bills. The FTC began investigating the practice several months ago and found confusion among collectors over whom they were allowed to contact and what they could say, said Joel Winston, the FTC's Associate Director of Financial Practices. The debt doesn't disappear when the person dies, he said. It's still a valid debt, and the collector can still collect it. But the question is, from whom? The Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act limits the people that collectors can contact to those with authority to pay the debt, typically a spouse or family member, and possibly a third-party executor of an estate. But in a proposed policy statement, the FTC said changes to court procedures have widened the pool of those who may be able to pay to include a host of other legal representatives. Locating those who can pay the debt creates another challenge. Often, collectors may contact friends or relatives in their efforts to find the right person. Current law allows collectors to ask only for location information without revealing that a debt is owed. The FTC is considering relaxing that rule for those who are deceased. But that could pave the way for collectors to persuade unobligated consumers to pay the debt, consumer groups say. Without actually saying anything inaccurate, a collector can kind of maneuver the consumer into paying something they didn't have to pay. The FTC proposal states collectors appealing to consumers' moral obligation to close the debt could violate federal law, and emphasized that collectors cannot imply that those with authority to pay the debt must do so out of their own pockets. All debts should be paid out of the deceased's estate. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for the answer to our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? Last week, we gave you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which was incorrect. Here's last week's question. Which two things must injured workers do as part of a workers' compensation claim? A. Give notice to the employer within 30 days of the injury. B. File a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission within 2 years of the injury. Or C. If a claim is contested, pay for an impartial medical exam. The correct answers are A. Give notice, usually in writing, to the employer within 30 days of the injury. And B. File a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission within 2 years of the injury. If a claim is contested, the employer or the Workers' Compensation Commission may pay for a medical exam, but the injured worker is not required to do so. Later in the show, we'll give you this week's quiz. Is that legal? For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here in the studio, and it's time once again for our weekly question and answer. We're here with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
Hi, my name is Willie, and I'm from Henrico County.
Welcome to the show, Willie. What question do we have this week?
I'd like to know, how can I let my child support agency know about me losing a position and changing that with back child support?
I have a follow-up question or two. Was your child support established by a court, like by a juvenile and domestic relations court, or was it established by an agency like the Division of Child Support Enforcement?
Yes, the Division of Child Support Enforcement.
Okay. Well, whether it was established by a court or by an agency like the Division of Child Support Enforcement, once child support has been ordered and goes unpaid for 30 days, it becomes a judgment by operation of law and cannot be changed retroactively, which is why it is really important, whether it's court-ordered child support or agency-ordered child support, if you're unable to pay it, it's super important to request a modification downward in writing as soon as you know that you need that downward modification. If it's court-ordered child support, you go back to the court that ordered the child support and you file what's called a motion to amend or review. And once that's filed, the child support that becomes due after that date can be modified downward based on your income as well as the other parent's income and how many children are being supported. The same is basically true for the Division of Child Support Enforcement. They don't have a convenient form like a motion to amend or review, but I would contact the Division of Child Support Enforcement. I would do that both orally and in writing, and I would save a copy of whatever you mail to them. If you fax them, then I would save the fax verification and lay out your circumstances that you are requesting a downward modification in child support because of your financial circumstances. And I would be persistent. I wouldn't wait more than a couple of weeks without getting a response for them. And if didn't get a response, I would do a follow-up. And you may even want to make an in-person visit to the Division of Child Support Enforcement, whichever agency, whichever local office is actually handling your case, and request the paperwork to fill out a downward modification. And they will ask for your current income, and presumably they will get the current income of the party who has the children in run the guidelines to determine how much child support you actually should be paying. But documenting all this is super important because, again, if you don't make the request, the unpaid child support becomes a judgment by operation of law after it's unpaid for 30 days, and then it can never be changed retroactively. You have really no choice but to pay it. Is this information helpful to you?
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for being on the show. With immigration reform stalled at the federal level, many states are considering their own proposals. Edgar Aranda, community educator and organizer with the Legal Aid Justice Center's Immigrant Advocacy Program, presents the many facets of immigration reform and why some plans up for discussion at next month's Virginia General Assembly may do more harm than good.
Today, I am going to talk more about, we have a lot of campaigns. It's an ongoing campaign. So what I'm going to talk is more about the experience that I have as an immigrant, because I want to appeal to your heart, because I want you, I guess I saw a movie say I want to recruit you, something like that. So it would be great if you, after this conversation that we have, you can join us and you can feel what an immigrant feels in this country, especially in this state where we have so much problems. So just to begin, maybe I would like to talk about, I was in a conversation like this a year ago, and then in that conversation, there was one person, he is American, of course, he is citizen, so he asked me, you know, why the illegals are here, why you are defending illegals, you know? And I said, first of all, I want to refer them as undocumented, not as an illegal, because this is not a crime, so and so. Okay, that's fine. And then afterwards, he came to me and he asked me, so where are you from? And I say, well, I am from Arlington. No. Where are you from? He said, well, I am from Peru originally. And he said, oh, okay, you're from Peru. So why are you here? Well, I am here because this is my new life. So I tried to explain him very briefly, but, and he said, people like you really should go home. Just like that, he'd say, directly look at me and say, you should go home. And then I said, sir, I think your problem is not with illegal, it is with immigrants. So that's something that it struck me in that moment, and I said, why people hate or are uncomfortable, I am not going to use the word hate, because so many people really are uncomfortable or have a fear on immigrants. So, and I understood, and I talked with him, and at the end, he said, let's have a coffee and let's talk more about it. Because that's dialogue. We need dialogue with immigrants, with the community, to understand each other. And that's something that we are doing every day. In our job in Falls Church, organizing a lot of dialogues and diversity and also issues, the advocacy. So that's an experience. So I want to ask you, so you can see me now. So, and you know that I am an immigrant, right? That's no doubt about it because the accent, whatever. But so who will say it right now? Do you think I am documented or undocumented? Who thinks that I am undocumented? Raise your hand. No one. It's obviously because I
no papers. Well, no papers.
Illegal or legally? Yeah, that's the word that people understand. If I am undocumented or undocumented, of Of course, people are going to say right now, you are documented because you are working with the Legal Aid Justice Center. Well, that's true. I am documented. But now the question is now, I am citizen or I am a resident with a green card? Whoever thinks that I am a citizen, raise your hand. Exactly. That's the point. So I am going to keep going. So that's the point. So how can you tell that I am a resident or I am undocumented or I am a citizen in this country? And it's hard to tell. And I, as a proof, I brought my passport. I am a citizen of the United States. And this was the first time that I bought 2 days ago. So when I have that experience with people, you know, when they don't want, so it's hard to tell. And then when I hear Arizona law, are you familiar with that legislation?
Yeah.
So just a very brief what Kay was saying, you know, probably cause. Probably cause is the word, is the legal term to find out with just a probably cause if you are legally or illegal in this country. So that's what happened in Arizona. So I am a citizen. I go to Arizona and they will ask me my documents. What happened if I left at home in Virginia? And I will be in jail because I forgot my documents. Just because I look like that, like this. You know, like Edgar Aranda, the Peruvian immigrant of the United States. That's not fair. That's what I call racial profiling. And many people, many police, they don't want to do it. They even oppose and say, we cannot do that. This is, Arizona is a lot Latinos, a lot immigrants, and we immigrants give a lot for this country. So now, what is going to happen here in Virginia, it is the rule, I don't remember well the name, but it is being promoted a legislation for this General Assembly that want to copy this legislation here in Virginia. So we immigrants are very concerned about it. And that's what I am here now, taking advantage of the invitation of Emily to talk my successful story and becoming this thing, something like a, please, you have to help us. We have to work together. Because this is something will affect the immigrants and will affect to everybody. And when I was talking with Michael Cassidy from the Commonwealth Institute, you, I guess many people were yesterday in his presentation, we talk about what is the immigrants giving to Virginia. It is a lot. So there are numbers, and there is a lot of research that we are doing here, and all, of course, and we are all Virginians. So in that sense, we will be working a lot in the General Assembly this next year. It's going to be a lot of legislation that we will fight. And we have I am right now working also, I am from the Legal Aid Justice Center, but also I am the chair of the Virginia Coalition of Latino Organizations. So advocating for Latinos, and we had, last week, we had the first Virginia Immigrant Advocate Summit, which brought many Muslims, Asian, Africans, Latinos, and people who work with Latinos or with immigrants and people who identified with the immigrant issue. So we have over 200 people, and everybody was talking about what we are going to do with this kind of legislation. The law that I am talking about, the Rule of Law Act, it is being promoted by Corey Stewart from Prince William. And he is going to talk with one of the delegates that I don't remember the name right now,
okay,
but I will memorize for the General Assembly, definitely.
Yeah.
But so this is one part of the campaign. What happened, for instance, are you familiar with the 287G program? Have you ever heard about it? It's a very well-known program that is affecting to Latino community and to the immigrant community. So this is the 287G law. I'm going to make it very easy to understand. We know that there's a jurisprudence it says the immigration is the federal government is in charge of the immigration. That's it. A state cannot do anything about it. But with the 287G, will deputize police, state police, or local police to enforce immigration law. So if the police has that power, the police will be asking the legal status of everybody that they stop, that they think they probably cause again. So that creates a lot of fear, mistrust with the police, and the police is the community is not going to trust the police. If that happens, we are in big trouble, because to fight the crime, to fight against people who are doing, who are harming our community, you have to have trust. So the 27G is a program that it was, for many of us, was kind of dead. But August, the governor, McDonald, he sent a letter to Napolitano, who is the secretary of the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to sign, requesting to sign an agreement, the 27G, so the police, the state police can enforce that law, or can enforce immigration law. We are concerned about it. What we are doing is requesting to Napolitano just to reject that petition. We haven't heard yet anything, but we gathered several organizations and we signed a letter, but we don't know what will be the result. So that's what we are doing right now. And also the Department of Motor Vehicles. Did you know what happened, maybe? Mm-hmm. So Department of Motor Vehicles, also Governor McDonald, he said, from now on, he says, the employment authorization document is no longer a valid proof to prove that you are legally in Virginia. So it is affecting, I am going to say, asylees, refugees, aliens granting temporary protected status, it's a TPS, the VAWA, the Violence Against Women Act, for instance, mm-hmm. women who suffer the violence of men, whatever. Abuse, exactly. So they are under threat. So this, we also request, and not later, the Commissioner of Motor Vehicles, that they should not implement this petition of this order of the governor. But we don't know yet. So we don't know yet, but we are gathering with the ACLU more cases. Already we have 36 complaints, but it's going up. So there is, as you see, there is so many issues affecting the immigrant community. But just I am going to summarize everything in one thing. Join us, and I will be sending emails, and we should work together, because really, immigrants, citizens, we are Virginians. As a Virginians, we can work together and we can do a better Virginian for everybody. Ain't gonna let discrimination turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Gonna let discrimination turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up to freedom.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
It's time for our weekly quiz called, Is That Legal? We give you a legal question and three possible answers, one of which is incorrect, and we give the correct answers next week. If you're the first to email the two correct answers, we'll post your name on our show's website and send you a free copy of the Virginia State Bar's Handbook on Your Legal Rights and Responsibility. Here's this week's question. Which two things are true under the 2009 Payday Loan Act? A. The interest rate is limited to 300% per year. B. The term of the loan must be at least 14 days, or C, the amount of the loan is limited to $500. If you know the two correct answers, email them by Friday to marty@cvlas.org and be next week's winner. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral four, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. For the past 30 years, Bill Botts has been the executive director of Rappahannock Legal Services in Fredericksburg. His tireless advocacy is rooted in his underlying faith in the ability of the legal system to protect the poor from injustice. Join us next week when the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show interviews Bill at his retirement gala as he reflects upon his career in legal aid. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.